So occasionally, I like to watch television. Like yesterday, the NASCAR race was on, the Xfinity series was on, and the baseball game was on at the same time. So I watched the race, and then I watched the baseball game. And when the bottom of the inning and they switched, I'd switch it back over to the NASCAR race, and I just, well, I do drive Judy crazy. But, you know, I don't like commercials, so I mute commercials. She's doing the same thing now, so I taught her well. But anyhow, I like to flip through the channels. And I like to flip sometimes through the religious channels. If you have this, you'll know they're up into like 231 up into. And there's all kinds of different Christian ministries on there, including the Catholic channel. And I like this kind of look at them sometimes and try to pick out what they're thinking or what they're doing. And they're all a little different, but they're all the same because they're all worshiping God. But sometimes they do it in little different fashions. And like some of them are loosely knitted denominations, for lack of a better term. Some people call them the Pentecostals, and some people call them this and that. But more importantly, the presence of the Holy Spirit in the church today is active. It's the active presence of the Holy Spirit that where Jesus and his disciples, when they were in Jerusalem, they were celebrating the Passover feast, which is just in that time, it was a little more than a month over the resurrection. They said the festival was 7 weeks, and then you count to one day, which is 50. Now, I'm naive. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I am naive at times. And sometimes I pause for a few minutes when I'm clicking through the religious channels and something is said that catches my ear, and I'm curious, and I hope to find out some insights that maybe help my own spiritual growth that God's Spirit ministered to me in many different ways. But invariably, rather than the celebrations of the gift of the Spirit poured out, sometimes you hear a little narrow view of things that are going on. Some of them come across as better than others, and we have the Spirit and you don't. And you know, the Methodist Church used to be blamed for being a liberal church and we weren't on fire. But when we join with the Evangelical Church, if you notice now with our cross and flame, which represents the Holy Spirit, Pentecostalism came out of the Wesleyan movement in our country. In the mid-1850s, they decided to split. Now, they weren't splitting over anything other than they agreed on the Spirit, but they disagreed on the manifestation of the Spirit. So like good Baptists, the Methodists said, well, okay, you go that way and you can be Pentecostal and we'll just be the high church. But we're all the same. We all have an individual relationship with God through the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not here with us today in the physical sense. So why we have to put labels on and this one's better than that one? We all have a personal relationship with God. And we're all at a different part of our life where we need to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit and many other Christians. So it makes me sad in one way for the claims of some of them to say, I got the Spirit of God and you don't. No matter what they call themselves, it makes me want to ask, what are the signs of God's Spirit in the church today? The Spirit of God had promised to pour out on all flesh. You know what all means? It means all. So if we consider the question, it reminds me sometimes of two pastors that I might know and have known. And one was a scholar, spent many hours carefully preparing a sermon, came to the pulpit with more notes than he could possibly use in that little short period of 20, 25 minutes that he had. He was a quiet man, gentle and loving. And I'm concerned that we remember, really, sometimes what that diversity means in the church. Speaking of notes, with the other pastor, very different pastor, knew that he had the Spirit because he would tell you, I got the Spirit of God in me. He would preach fiery sermons with not even a note. He said he preached what the Spirit wanted him to say, But really, when you got to know him, he was a little bit of an angry person. He was competitive, and he was bitter, and he was driven. But every time I hear someone say things like that, I got the Spirit and you don't, and you need to get the Spirit. You know, like you go out and buy a new car or get a new suit. And I remember these two men very vividly, the angry one who told us that he had the Spirit and the gentle one who never claimed in so many words but seemed to be filled with God's Spirit more than anyone I ever met. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we are the only Bible that some people will ever see. And that's what he did. He lived out his faith. So I suppose that part of the reason why I continue to have trouble sometimes with some of the traditional religious language is being thrown around more and more these days. It always seems to be our deepest belief simply needs to be lived more than talked about. Now, I'm concerned sometimes that we have great diversity, and I'm glad of that, because God is diverse. He is the vastness of God. And I become weary sometimes when people try to convince others that the Holy Spirit is the property of just one group. I once had an encounter with a former member one time in one of the churches that I served a long time ago, and she had a charismatic experience, and I was glad for it because I've had some of those experiences as I was growing in grace. And she was telling me about how she found Jesus, and I rejoice in that, and how she was reborn in the Spirit. And, you know, I'm thinking, that's good. I'm glad. Good for you. And then she proceeded to tell me, preacher, you need to get this thing that I got too in that special way. I thought, well, As she tried to convince me, I thought about, well, is it true that our experiences of God differ from person to person to person? That's why we call it a personal relationship with God. Why do some assume that their experience of God is more than my experience of God? Both real, I'm sure, but also done at a different time, because God lives in us. He connects with our spirit, and he allows us to understand life in such a way. Good thing, because the devil, roaring out there like a lion to devour anyone that he can, cannot read your mind, but he can play tricks on your mind. And without the Holy Spirit giving you what we call a conscience, you know, when you finally just say, Lord, I want you to come into my life. I heard all about you, and I want to have what everybody has, and you stand at the door and knock, I want you to come into my life and be Lord over it. And that's good. But you don't get him in pieces. You get him all. God the Father, God the Son, and more importantly, God the Holy Spirit. So it's not a progression. Okay, well, I believe in God now, and then I believe in Jesus, and then if I get the Holy Spirit, I'll have it all complete. No, once you say, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life, come into my life, you get him all. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But so often it comes down to a lot of the things, and we are confronted all the time. Look at this political mess that we're in this country. The isms, the all kinds of isms. All an ism is, like alcoholism, some of the other, it's simply a doctrine or a way of thinking. So the isms always creep in. That my way of understanding God is the only way. The true understanding of God. No. For many mainline preachers, or what we call denominational preachers, we have seen similar and opposite reactions sometimes to the Pentecostal Christians. We need to embrace them. Perry Stone is one of the greatest Pentecostal preachers in our time. He did the video in Making the Apocalypse Easy. Bob Morris is another wonderful preacher. He comes across as a mainline preacher because that's the way he was raised. But he's a very spiritual-filled and a very Pentecostal, if you would, for that kind of stuff. Only being Pentecostal just means that you recognize God's Spirit in your life. They say, well, I believe in the Trinity, but they consecrate their preaching on teaching in the first two persons rather than having anything to say about the Holy Spirit. You can't divide him up. You get him all. So I'm left with this question. Does the Holy Spirit come to church only one way? Does the Holy Spirit come only with signs and wonders, as many Pentecostal Christians will claim? Do they come if you come to the altar and the preacher lays hands on you and you fall out? Maybe that's real. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I just trust that God works in a lot of different ways. I've been involved in a lot of those meetings. I've seen signs and wonders, and I pray not to prejudge what somebody else is going through as they grow in grace. One way to God? I don't think so. Not that way. There is only one way to God, and that's through the Son. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me, and I recognize that. Now, I'm not a musician, but you might remember I try sometimes at Youth Week last year, the year before last. I played the guitar and I sang Tiptoe Through the Tulips. So, but I don't really consider myself a musician. I don't think Travis does either. But there are two or three pieces of music which affect me. And not all of them are well known as Handel's Messiah or Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. I can't say that word either. But some of my favorite pieces that are rather obscure has ministered to me over the years when I didn't even know it was ministering. I grew up in a good Christian home, but I strayed in my early life. And I'm a child of the 50s, early 60s. And there's a song that I love that song. I love the tone. I didn't quite understand it. It was called Spirit in the Sky. Anybody remember that? I just liked that song. It did something for me, and I didn't know what it was. Later on in life, when we were at Waukena, we had a gospel group come and do a gospel singing, and they sang that song, Spirit in the Sky. Then I realized that was a Christian song on the pop charts of the day. And that song, I don't know, it just did something for me. And it still does. But something in these songs and some of these things resonates a chord within us. I hear them and I soar. Let's see what I did with it. Oh, there it is. Music is something really special, something really neat in our life. I'm going to watch the clock a little bit, but I know we're going to eat. There's a gentleman by the name of Michael Terrell. He's a musician. He was also a preacher, and he was studying music and understanding music, especially as it related to David, King David. When King David was playing the harp, if you remember, when King Saul was having all his struggles, he would call King David over and play the harp, and it would soothe him. Well, Michael Terrell looked at some of those things, and he realized the healing capacity in string music especially. And he did a lot of research, and he come to realize that some of the music that we hear, if it's done in a different megahertz, it has a soothing and healing capacity to it. So I gave this music to somebody, and I said, you're going to enjoy it. You're going to like it just as much as I do. And not so much. But it does minister to music. It's special. I like to... on Sunday morning when I'm studying for my sermons, I turn it over on 973, which is instrumental, whatever they call it. Anyhow, a lot of it is secular songs. It's just instrumental. But it has such a soothing experience in my life. Music is so important, even though I'm not a musician. So we miss the possibility that God may entirely have a different experience in mind for all of us. It's not so much a matter of what God's Spirit is or why it's here or why he hadn't spoken to us and everybody in the same way. It's a matter of listening for the particular way God is speaking to you individually right now. What's really important is that we seldom bother to do. We're great readers. I like to read. We're great listeners. And I like to listen sometimes. He said, I only listen when I have selected hearing. But we have experiences that way on our own, our lives, our location, and the greatest anxiety and our greatest needs are given to us through the grace of the Holy Spirit. Somewhere within each of us, there's a great hunger. We call that empty space, which only can be filled with God's grace and love. It's a hunger for God. As Wesley used to say, the Holy Spirit is like the hound of heaven, always wooing us into that love relationship with Him. Yet most of us, sometimes, not all the time, we try to fill these things in our life with something else rather than seek and hear God's Spirit calling in those places that we need. Perhaps one of the reasons is our resistance is so powerful is that we often been pressured to hear God's calling in somebody else's life rather than our own. The Spirit of God is vast and diverse, and God probably just laughs all the time that we're trying to complete the progression with the exclusive rights of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost with wind and fire and speaking in tongues, and He still does. That same Spirit was here beginning to move over the chaos and creating life and still here. That same Spirit spoke to Elijah, not in fire and a windstorm, but a small, still voice. And He still speaks to us in that small, still voice. The same Spirit caused old men and young women to dream dreams and to see visions, as it says in Joel chapter 2. And He still does. The Spirit of God moved over the face of the water in Genesis. Lives were created out of chaos when the Spirit of the Lord touched them. So listen for the Holy Spirit who is calling you into these empty places in your life. The need for us to allow God's Spirit. Now, I'm not going to predict what will happen for you individually because I don't know that. One of the most beautiful things about God and the way He created us is that we say sometimes, I know that's Joanne because I met Joanne. She told me she's Joanne. But for me to go and say, I know Joanne, I don't know Joanne. Only God knows Joanne and Joanne because what lives in here is so personal and so precious. Sometimes our outer actions lets us to understand God's or person's character sometimes. But when He said He was going to pour out all His Spirit on all flesh, that's exactly what happened. Holy, almighty God, I thank You for this day. Your Spirit has been moving in us since before creation, and it's taken shape and taken form. And as You hover over the chaos, O Lord, You move about us today, calling us to empty places in our lives. Father, our prayer this morning is that You would fill us with Your fire and Your passion and Your amazing presence. Storms throughout our lives are like raging winds. Light our path with the flames of Your presence, O God, that we may answer. We may be summoned and follow Your Spirit as we live as those who have learned to love in Christ's precious name, our Savior. Amen.